Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at PureRockFury. We're just going to do the gruesome twosome today because we're having some issues with the show. Not the show. Everything's fine. Settle down. So our number one for today is actually it was going to be the Dregs, but people said they couldn't find it in the store. So I switched it to Daveocracy, and then when I went to the store, I found the Dregs anyway, which I wish we would have picked because it was way better than Daveocracy. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Our over-under just seems to fit. You know, we did protest signs last week. We're going to do protest songs this week. And I'm actually a little bummed because I feel like the other guys who are not here today would have had some pretty good answers on this one. So maybe we'll see what they say next week. Other than that, you can check out the rest of our shows at comicroast.com. Don't forget we're doing our best to do a weekly board game one on the You May or May Not Like It show. So don't forget to check those out. And we got King of Tokyo, I believe, coming for you this week. And then head to reviewandroast.com to check out all of our other reviews on movies and comics and books and TV shows and pancakes and pizza and waffles.
I like pancakes.
And pizza and waffles.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Ditto on all three, yeah. I mean, yeah. Frozen and or fresh made waffles are both good.
I love me some waffles.
And I know you're down on the frozen waffles, but sometimes when you get like a good... Here's the thing. Okay, Trader Joe's during the fall have pumpkin waffles, which are fantastic, but they also have mango waffles, which are also fantastic. They are delicious. Their chocolate waffles are a little too overpowering, but they're still good.
The only thing frozen waffles are good for is to heat them up, thaw them out, basically, because let's face it, they don't stay hot for more than 30 seconds. And then you just throw some vanilla ice cream on it and have yourself a little like waffly ice cream treat. That's the only thing they're good for.
No, they're good for two other things. On a Saturday or on like a Sunday morning when you wake up and you're starving and you're like, I don't feel like making anything. You just throw some waffles in, you eat them real quick, you go about your day. Or on a night, for example, when we were recording the podcast, I get home from 2 hours of driving. I got 30 minutes to eat and get here. I just go, nah, fuck it. Waffles it is.
I'll tell you what. Frozen waffles suck. Eggo included, which I know is like the most popular brand. But I'll tell you what. Eggo's breakfast sandwiches, now those are delicious and they stay hot and they're way better than their waffles.
I don't know. I don't, there's really no frozen waffle brand that I don't like. There are others that I like more than others. Like the Vans ones tend to be a little
dry. Rubbery.
Rubbery, yeah.
Vans, get it? Shoes?
Nailed it.
I didn't know there was a Vans food company, but that's weird.
They're like one of those fancy health food organic frozen waffle
things. So my poor ass wouldn't know anything about them.
They sell them at...
Settle down, Romney.
They sell them at Meijer and Mariano's and gas stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's enough about breakfast food, I'd say. So, like I said, I wish that we were doing the Dregs because I did buy it and I did read it. And I don't know if anyone's aware, but it's based in Vancouver or British Columbia, I believe.
Same thing.
And... it's basically, there's, I forget the exact name of this drug, but it's similar to, you know, heroin. You shoot it up and you know, whatever. And there's this like 5-square block radius where of all these like basically homeless people, the down and outs live because they're all addicted to this drug. But the area itself is called the Dregs, and there's a restaurant there that may or may not kidnap these homeless people and serve them in the restaurant. And the story revolves around this one homeless man who, you know, they're like, hey, have you seen, you know, so-and-so around lately? No one's seen him in, like, the last week. He's like, yeah, he'll turn up. And then, you know, he investigates throughout the book. And, you know, the place he used to stay at is now gone. And
he's under the Skynet of homeless people?
It's under development. No, he's just the guy that was friends with the guy that's now missing.
I thought he was the one homeless guy who becomes super self-aware and starts, like, fighting crime like a homeless Batman.
No, not at all. He does do the investigative work to try and figure out what happened, and he goes like, it's awesome, awesome book. If you haven't picked it up, Brian says that they're really pretty slow on their issues, so you got a few months to read it before the second one comes out, I bet.
Right. Well, it's a Black Mask book. It's a company I generally want to support for numerous reasons. But there's a book they put out about a year ago called Ext. It was about a company that allows this guy who was like a former government assassin turned, you know, he works for this corporation now that can transport you into people's memories and kill the memories that they don't want. But the bad part is you can also see the memories they don't necessarily want you to see, because you're basically allowing someone full access to your memory bank. And I read the first issue and I was like, this thing is the best. And then the second one came out like a month later and I was like, this thing is the best. And then I waited and waited and waited for the third one. It took like 5 months. So I was like, all right, well, they're back on track, hopefully. And then I just got issue 4 like last week. So from about June till now, there was no Ext. And it's supposedly, from what I understand, a 6-issue series. So I feel like,
if that's the case, I feel like you need to do all 6 at once and then just release it every month.
That's why I'm like, I'm still going to support Black Mask. I'm just done with their single issues, because if I got to wait a year and a half for the trade, I'd rather read it all at once so I don't forget things. But when I read issue 4, I'm like, I kind of remember some of this, but like, I really need to sit down and read all 4 in a row, because there are characters I'm like, wait, who's that guy? Wait, he's the main, what? What's that thing? I remember the old lady and the guy who's pretty much the mental assassin, and that's it.
See, I feel like that story itself might benefit me greatly, but at the same time, if I had someone go into my brain and get rid of all the unwanted memories, I feel like I wouldn't have much left.
It's dark. I mean, I'm into it, but it's dark.
I'm just saying. Hey, you remember your entire life when you've been super poor and you can't do shit?
Except record a podcast, because all poor people have podcasts.
Exactly. Hey, I can afford the $10 a month this thing costs.
Damn, why gotta be telling people what kind of money we're rolling out?
I know, right? I mean, other than that, this week, the only other neat thing that I've done is, you know, for you longtime listeners, you know that I used to be dangerously obsessed with Final Fantasy XI. So I in turn recruited a friend of mine, Jeff, to play that, and he also got dangerously addicted to it. And we've been missing that addiction, so we started playing Terra. I don't know if anyone out there is familiar, but, you know, it's another, more of a Warcraft-style MMO as far as, you know, being on PC and very keyboard and mouse-based, and I'm more of the controller type. But it does play well with the controller, and so Jeff and I have been playing that this week, and that's actually been a lot of fun, too. But other than that, we really haven't been doing much of anything this week, so time for the number one. Nice. All right, so the number one was Daveocracy. I don't know what it's on. What is it on? It's right there.
IDW.
Is it?
I asked you earlier. I'm like, do you need the book? You're like, no, I'm good.
No, well, because I didn't think it did, but whatever. Yes, okay. IDW, and it's by Ryan Ferrier and Valentin Ramon, it looks like. This actually looked super appealing to me in the store. And then when I read it today, I was like, this is not really appealing to me at all. Basically, this is, I'm not 100% sure how far into the future, but basically there's a robot named Dave. And he has spent a good portion of his existence eradicating the planet of human beings. And then because, you know, we were destroying the planet and robots felt they could do it better. But now he's, you know, he sees the robots doing the same stuff the humans did, i.e. sitting all day on your social medias and not giving a shit about the planet, blah, blah, yada, yada. He also created another robot, basically a Roomba, you know, the little vacuum thing that just walls around. That thing happens to be president in this one. And, you know, in the very beginning, it gets extinguished in a very Kennedy-esque style. And basically from there, it's, I'm assuming, the equivalent of like a Google or a Facebook that is run by this other, you know, evil genius robot who is, you know, apparently the Earth's core is powering everything, but it doesn't have enough power to last, and it's blah, blah, blah. And I think the idea is actually really kind of awesome to me. I'm not going to lie about that. What takes me out of a book like this is when the writers do like, whoa, bro, hey, dude, and hashtag this. Like, they try to make these characters speak a certain way, and it just, it always, almost always, I should say, ruins it for me. And I say almost always because off the top of my head, I can't think of the stupid name. But at C2E2 last year, I picked up this book, and it's about this robot band in the future, just like punk band or whatever that, you know. And they talk the way you would think a computer would talk, but like in this book, like every other thing is like, hey, bro, what's the haps here, dudes? And it's like, oh, my God. And I don't know if you noticed, but like every time it, the Google CEO or Facebook robot, whatever the hell his name is, every time he starts talking in the alphanumeric, like alpha, bravo, whatever, it always spelled, like the first one spelled out ass butt, and the next one spelled out fart. It's like, dude, was this written by 14-year-olds? I am sorry. The idea is great, but the writing, the artwork is amazing. The writing ruined this book for me. Absolutely ruined it. And it's like, you know, I don't speak in the alphanumeric a lot, but, you know, I know enough about it to know that, you know, alpha something something, you know, whatever. And okay, you just said pull off code number ass butt. Hey, let's release fart. Like, dude, this is ruined. Sorry.
No, because actually I was having all the same thoughts. I'm like, at the first like few pages, I'm like, oh, this is pretty neat. And then, yeah, and it was like one of them was like, I was towards the end, just weird little tidbits of dialogue information that were super just like,
When his
butthorn. Here's one. Yeah. Butthorn.
When his main robot came online, that was just ridiculous.
Here's another one. Duder already has 3.5 bajillion interactions every day. What?
Yes, that's the name of the stupid social media site. It's Duder.
Yes, just awful. Awful.
And I feel like these guys got super stoned when they wrote this, and they're like, dude, that's hilarious.
I mean, I kind of, it was throwing me off at first, but it grew to kind of appreciate the way, like, they would use normal names and words to stand in for places, people, and things. Like, Earth, instead of E-A-R-T-H, it was 3-A-R-T-H, or was it 3-4-R-T-H?
3-4. It was definitely 4. Like, all the A's were replaced with 4s.
Yeah, I thought, like, at first, that was kind of, like, messing with me, but then after a minute, I was like, all right, get where they're going. This is kind of neat. The minute I saw the logo for Duder, I was like, okay, that's a clear Google reference, and the name sucks. And yeah. I hate it, and it's going to be awful as soon as I meet these Duder guys, and they were as terrible as I expected.
Hey, bro-ham.
It was pretty much like, yeah, if I got dumped off in a hacky sack tournament in the middle of some weird college full of 20-year-olds who are, like, oddly fans of the Grateful Dead, even though the band hasn't existed for 20 years. I just, oh, my God. Or they're like, oh, dude, Los Lonely Boys, they're, like, a perfect replacement for Fish. It's like, nah, just stop. Just stop. I can't handle this. It's too much. I know people are always like, oh, the term millennials is the worst. But then I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, man, millennials are the worst. I'm still sounding like Captain Old Man right now, but...
Yellow, gentlemen, what up, my dudes? Just talking about you.
I don't know. I mean, and it's the thing, like, I was... At first, I liked it. And then about 4 pages in, I'm like, I don't know if I think... I don't think I like this very much. And then about halfway through, I'm like, I kind of hate this thing. And then at the very end, I'm like, I don't actually hate it, but I don't like it either. It's weird... I think there's a really good idea here, but yes, the dialogue is really tearing that idea apart like a
BRB, GTFO, IMO, WTF, SMH, first, LOL, holy shit, I'm alive, my memes are so dank, oh my God, and when I was saying that there was a book, the one I picked up at C2E2 last year that is all robots, but they do it amazingly well. It's called Deep Space Tragedy. It was going to be, I believe, a 4-issue series. I have the first two that I bought there. They've sent me the third copy for a review copy recently. So I told them I was going to wait till I read all 4 to do a review, but who knows? Maybe I'll get those 3 up if anyone's that interested. But that's something you need to look into. It's way better than this. Sorry.
Yeah, I started out liking it because I like the whole, you know, mirroring current events with robots. It seemed kind of fun and also like a good way to kind of do social commentary and satirization. And then halfway through, I'm like, I can't handle this. Duder stuff is giving me a headache.
Oh, my God.
It's like, it was all right when I watched, what's that movie? Thrashing? When, like, Tony Alva and all those guys were the Daggers? Like, that was all right. But that was also in 1987. And who was the dude that was in that movie? I forget. But then, yeah, by the time the book ended, I was like, man, I'm torn because this idea is kind of great. But the execution of it is, you know, it's weird. Like I was, when I was reading, I'm like 3. Then when I was done, I had a higher score. And now I think you've talked me back down again.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to, I know this review sounds bad and it feels like I'm going to give it like a 2, but I'm not. And if we're ready to go, we can just go with it. And I mean, who cares? I'll go with it. I'm going to give it like a 5. You know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot of people will be able to get around that dialogue. The idea is awesome. I really like the idea. The artwork is phenomenal. It's just the execution and mainly, like I said, the writing that I just can't deal with. So because it has potential for some people, and I really do think the art and the idea are awesome, I'll give it a 5.
Yeah,
I'm
going to give it a 5 too, because like you said, it's an IDW book, and IDW books always are like super top shelf, high quality, best paper quality you can find. Generally, their stuff is more good than bad, even though they do a lot of Transformer stuff. I feel like they really make a push to get the best teams possible on these books. And then when they do creator-owned books, I feel like they really kind of look for good content. And yeah, somebody out there, this is going to be their favorite book.
I get where they were going with what they were trying to do, but I feel like they tried too hard with that Duder dialogue surfer bullshit.
I might just be too Walt Kowalski at this point in my life to really, I guess, I don't know. I feel like I'm not the right age demographic for this. I feel like if I was like 23, I'd probably love it.
I don't think I would ever be into that Duder persona.
I guess, well, because like the whole text message language was thrust upon us. Whereas, like, there is a whole generation that's behind us that, like, that's their entire life has been LOL and
you can still use it.
And
you can still use it.
WTF and Duder and Broham.
Like, you can still use that stuff in the book. Like, that's fine. I get that. Same thing with replacing all the A's with 4s.
No, that part was fine. That I liked.
It's the, whoa, bro, settled, mellow out, dude. It's like, dude, you don't need to try to portray that to me.
I just feel like there's a generation that, like, they've been inundated with it since they were in kindergarten. Like, my nephew called me Broham, like, a month ago, and I was like, what did you just call me?
I just slapped him right in the face.
Slap him right in his gut. Do not call me Broham, or Ham, or Bro.
Right? Yeah, so there you go. I mean, someone might like it. It just wasn't me. Is there anything else you want to go for here, or are we just over-under this thing?
Yeah, let's over-under this
thing. We're going to over-under this thing. So like I said, the over-under is protest songs. Kind of goes in line with the ridiculousness of what Trump's been doing for the last week. And, you know, it still plays off of the comic that we just did, and it still plays off our last week, if you really want to go that way. So my overrated, I don't know, I feel like some people are going to be mad about this. Probably nobody on the show here, but I feel like people in general. But my overrated is going to go, I'm going to go with Killing in the Name of.
Oh, dope.
I am sorry. I do not understand the draw with Rage Against the Machine. I don't understand anybody that wants to mix rap with any other kind of music. It just doesn't work. I don't get it. I know a lot of people love Rage Against the Machine, and I appreciate that he's, you know, political with his lyrics and he's trying to, you know, speak to a larger audience. I feel like most people that listen to Rage Against the Machine could give a shit about the message he's trying to send.
When Paul Ryan is talking about how they're one of his favorite bands, I really find it hard to believe that their music really got through with the intended purpose. And I actually picked Killing in the Name of as well. And it had more to do, less to do with the music. Because I actually do think Tom Morello is a pretty good guitar player. I think the stuff he wrote with Audioslave wasn't all bad. I think for me, it's the posturing that they're somehow political revolutionaries. When realistically, I feel like maybe certain members of the band might have sort of been in some way heavily activist. I know Tom Morello kind of gets involved, but I think he kind of, I don't think he crosses that line to where he's really truly doing stuff to where, as opposed, he's trying to basically just, I don't know, something about Tom Morello just smacks of him trying to strike a balance between activist and celebrity, which is a little annoying. I feel like Zach De La Roca is probably the only guy in the band that's a true activist. I feel like the other two guys were just like, hell yeah, we're going to make millions. Let's do this. We're filling a void and selling records. This kicks ass. I don't know. I don't know any of them personally. But I've seen Tom Morello on there talking about, I'm talking with legislators in Washington. It's just like, all right, you're not, I get it. But I just feel like they have this vision of themselves as like super hardcore, like revolutionaries, and they're really not. And I have yet to see anyone show me any evidence to the contrary. So that's what bugs me about Rage Against, is I sort of feel like there was a void of like a true like proletariat rock band at the time, and they are like, well, let's step in and fill that void, and we'll combine rap with rock, and it'll be totally cool. And it worked. They sold a bunch of records, made a lot of money, but I don't know that they did much. I mean, again, if you can show me evidence to the contrary, I'd totally be down to see it. I'd buy it.
Well, I'm not here to, you know, say whether or not someone is doing enough to be considered an activist.
Well, let me just throw this out there real quick before we move on. As far as a band that affected the culture in any way, I would give the nod to Los Crudos over Rage Against the Machine. Because, yeah, their audience is far smaller, but, man, they really hammered home a message, and people were like, holy crap, I never thought of it that way. I never thought to look into that issue before. I don't know that Rage Against the Machine had that kind of immediate effect. So,
well, I'll never in my life badmouth Los Crudos. I still listen to them to this day.
I still listen to them, and there are issues.
Make it a little awkward at work when I'm not blasting, but when I'm, you know, listening to the Los Crudos discography at my desk. But yeah, whatever.
I'm just saying, like, there are issues with South American, you know, politics and immigration that I never would have even been aware of had it not been for Martin and Los Crudos. There are issues with Rage Against the Machine. I couldn't point to one, but I've never listened to them. But again, I don't see them. To me, like, Los Crudos were on the ground handing out flyers.
I feel like they still are.
Well, they still tour. They still do things.
Well, I know they still play. I mean, obviously, I don't think they do as much as they used to, but I feel like outside of the music, they still were very large in the,
yeah, and it's not like they're
quote unquote movement, I guess.
Yeah, and it's not like they're a nothing band. I mean, they had a thing in the Chicago Reader about a year ago on like the band in some form or fashion has been active for 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they did a whole thing with Martin. So I mean, to me, they've done more to foster change, and I mean, in a small way, but they've done more than Rage Against the Machine.
I feel like I should end the show with Los Crudos now. I might have to do that. And let's see, underrated. This one, I don't know if anyone's going to be familiar or not, but I went with, let's see, when was it written? 1973, Bill Withers wrote a song called I Can't Write Left-Handed. I don't know if anyone is familiar with it. I first was familiar with it when John Legend and the Roots covered it. And that entire album that they did, Wake Up, is full of protest songs. And I've listened to that album plus the originals millions of times since that album came out. And they're all really, really, really well done. They're all amazing songs. But this one, I think, just stuck with me more than the rest. Maybe Hard Times was always one that stuck up there pretty well, and Ghetto Boy was pretty good too. But I Can't Write Left-Handed basically is this guy in Vietnam got shot in his shoulder, lost the use of it, or got amputated or whatever. So, and he was basically telling, you know, his mother or someone to write a letter for him because he can't write left-handed, you know, to basically, you know, tell his mom this, tell the reverend that. And it's just such an amazing song. If you've never heard it, I feel maybe I should end the show with that now too. But
man, that makes me think of I have a third one.
Well, I mean, I can sit here and go all day because, let's face it, there are a lot of really good protest songs. But this one is probably, I mean, at this point, top of the list for me. If you've never heard it, you know, obviously you can check out, you know, the Roots and John Legend version, which is an amazing cover. But, you know, the original is obviously really well done too. So that would be my pick.
Man, that gives me an idea. Well, I'll throw that one out real quick. Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues is fucking great. Oh my God, that song is amazing. I have two other picks. One I had as a backup, but I'll read them all. One is Nuclear Assault's Critical Mass. Lyrics, I read them this morning. They're a little bit on the corny side, but I feel like that song came out when Handle With Care came out, which came out in like 1989, when Nuclear Assault like drove home the point, like, hey, global warming, climate change, it's a thing. We should seriously start taking it seriously. Sorry to say twice in one sentence, but I feel like here are these four or five dudes from New York, total scumbag, stoner, long-haired metalhead dudes, probably smoke pot and they drink all the time, and what are we going to listen to them for? They don't know what they're talking about. They used to play the video for Critical Mass all the time that summer of like 1990, and I feel like here we are 27 years later, and there's a gag order on the EPA, and it's just like, okay, I think they were trying to say something, and no one listened. So that pretty much tells me that maybe they were onto something. The other one is Corrosion of Conformity, Vote with a Bullet. Off one of their not... Blind is a good album. It's not my favorite. But I feel like that song's pretty direct. I mean, you don't have to dig too much into the meaning of the Vote with a Bullet, but... I'm into that one, so there you go. Went a little off kilter. I could have picked Neil Young or, you know, one of those, but I think people need to give a nod to the old school metal.
Hey, why not? I mean, why not just go Surf Nicaragua?
Oh my God, I totally forgot that one.
I mean, as soon as you mentioned Nuclear Assault, I'm like, dude, what about Sacred Reich?
Oh, dude, that's a good one. I mean, maybe an outdated reference.
Yeah, I know, but
super
still.
Outdated, but still. It's not like the effects of Vietnam aren't being felt to this day.
Still a great song.
We're totally screwed by that whole thing. Anyway, not to get too big into that.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's going to be our nice little short show, I guess, for the week.
Got Best Thing Ever.
Oh, dude, we totally did. Do you have something?
I do.
To do.
Yeah, mine's super easy. The movie Hell or High Water. That movie kicks ass. I watched it twice this week, and I could totally watch it again right now. Jeff Bridges is being nominated for an Oscar. I feel like this is a pretty splendid performance on his part, but if you ask me, Ben Foster runs away with this movie from the word go. Oh my God, he's fucking good. It's so convincing that it's practically as if they pulled him out of a shit kicker bar in the middle of nowhere. And yeah, it's just a really good story, and it's got some social commentary in there. So, Hell or High Water, go get it.
Go get it. Yeehaw.
I got so into it. I was like, yeah, go get it. Go get it, little brother.
God. I think my Best Thing Ever has probably changed 80 times in the week during the week. Because it's usually just like I'll be sitting in my office or sitting in the car. I'm like, man, this album rules. This is totally making it. And no. I think I'm going to have to go with a video game that's been out for a couple of years now. That I literally haven't played it in over a year. But we played it this morning. Star Wars Battlefront. Not the greatest when it came out. Probably still not the greatest, but it's been so long since I've played it that I had a ridiculous amount of fun playing it this morning. I don't know why, but like for some reason when we play Overwatch, Mike gets booted left and right. So plus, and this is no offense to anyone out there, but this is the reason I don't accept random friend requests, because for the last week or so, there's been this dude that's been joining our parties all the time because Mike friended him on PlayStation. Well, he jumped into our chat today. He's like some 12-year-old. Hey, guys, what's going on? Like, dude, I'm almost 40. No. He's all trying to sit there and, like, have conversations and talk. And all I want to do is talk about that fucking cunt over there that just shot me in the face. And I feel like I can't say that to a 12-year-old. You know what I mean? Like,
you probably shouldn't say that to a 12-year-old.
Oh, my God. Like, Jeff did the same thing back when we used to play GTA, like, every day. He friended all these kids, and then, you know, because he didn't know. And then, yeah, the next thing you know, they jump in the chat, and it's like, hey, J-Mike, go get your bus. It's like, oh, my God. Dude, you need to put a fucking stop to this, son. But anywho, that's what happened this morning. Mike got booted once. We usually try a few times. But then this kid jumped into a chat, and then his friend jumped into the chat, and it's like, dude, this is fucking weird. Let's play something else.
Yeah, unless it's my nephew or a friend of my nephew's that I know on a personal level, there's no way I'm accepting some random person on a PlayStation or any online network, because it just sends all the wrong signals.
Yeah, it's just weird. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mind gaming with people I don't know. I don't want to talk to you. I'm sorry. Unless I know you.
Yeah, I made that mistake one time, a long time ago. Back in the early Xbox 360 days, I logged on to Xbox Live in a one-on-one match of like some baseball game, and I ended up talking to some guy from Arkansas who was an adult, but after the normal introductions, he basically just talked shit the entire game, and I'm like, I don't know you this way, so I just shut the thing off, because I'm like, he's pretty much like, he'd throw a pitch, and I'd swing and miss, he'd be like, yeah, you suck, and I'm like, I don't... We're not friends.
Dude, I'd be like, yeah, your ma sucks.
No, I'm not going to do that. But I was just like, all right. I was like, settle down, Cletus.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, dude. There's something about playing with strangers is fine. But when you find out they're kids, like, you need to... That's just weird. I'm sorry. But yeah, anywho, I had a lot of fun playing Battlefront this morning.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You already did yours. And there's no one else here. So, all right, that's going to wrap us up for the week. I'm not sure what the number one will be next week. We kind of don't plan ahead, so.
Well, it's my pick, so I'll try and get a pick by Wednesday. And
Brian will post it on our Instagram.
I'll do that.
If you follow our Instagram at Comic Roast, I'm assuming, or The Comic Roast.
The Comic Roast on Instagram.
Or we also have Review and Roast Instagram. We have my Instagram, which is Slevin77. I have Twitter at XorsonX. I have a Snapchat at XorsonX. And Brian has a Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. Chris is at Skate X Edge. And Damien's at Damien Johnston. They will be back next week. And that's our show. So have
talks about fighting every day. Yeah, yeah. And looking through rosy colored glasses. Oh, yeah. I must admit it seems exciting. Anyway, something they overlooked to tell me. Oh, yeah, the bullets look better, I must say. Going out, yeah. yeah. Tell them I ain't gonna live, I ain't gonna live, I ain't gonna live to get much older. Yeah.